This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
I still don't know who does that voice on the Sting. I'm not altogether. It's very enthusiastic. Welcome to the show, the Shuffle Show. Finn Taylor is my guest today. We're both going to be putting our iPods on Shuffle. How lovely. How nice. Kate Tempest on FUBAR. The beigeness, that song's called. Finn Taylor, my guest.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Started off, that song's from a concept album.
Yeah, so, what's the concept?
I don't know. I've listened to it so many times. I think there's like, someone's dealing drugs. But like, that's not a bad thing. Doesn't seem to be a bad thing in it. He's just in a bit of bother. People are after him. Another person doesn't like his girlfriend.
Normally a concept's more concise than this.
Yeah, normally there's a story to it, right?
Or just a scene.
There's like a bunch of stuff. There's like three different people in a bit of trouble and two of them end up running away together.
Right.
I think it's roughly what happens.
In that song or in the whole album?
In the whole album.
Right, okay.
So the whole album's like a story. But like, I mean, people don't do concept albums a lot now, and I think it's because it's quite hard to...
Well, that sounded like a sort of lead single.
Yeah, that is. Yeah,
that
yeah.
wasn't like the 1.5 minute track.
No, that's the
that's kind of weirds everyone out.
Yeah, that's definitely. She was told it was probably
very poppy. Yeah.
You need a single on there because all the other songs are you talking about people smashing in faces with hammers. There's a song on there about
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah, smashing things up with hammers and beating people up with a hammer.
Yeah,
one of the worst things to get beat up with, I'd say. And you're the kind of guy, for people who don't know you, who I'd imagine has thought about. What he wouldn't want to get beat up with the most. Like, you would think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You'd sit around and go, would I rather be beat up with a hammer or a saw?
Yeah, that's not far off from most thoughts when I'm by myself. Hammer would be bad. Yeah. I think being attacked with a saw would be all right, because I think they'd be...
Yeah.
You'd be able to dodge. I don't think they'd actually connect. And even if they did, they'd have to sort of get the back and forth.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to sort like serrate you off.
They'd have to hold you down.
Yeah.
If it was just one person, it probably wasn't gonna. It'd be a very sharp saw.
Yeah, but one kind of clip with a hammer, and you—that's a lot.
You're done, aren't you? There's that horrible scene in Texas Chainsaw Massacre when the guy just runs into the room and just gets, donked with a hammer immediately.
Donked.
Just that donks him on the top of the
that
head.
That was the italics in the script.
Gets him right on the top.
Donked.
Donk.
Doink.
Down.
I haven't seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's horrible. Obviously, it's deliberately horrible. You know, it's meant to get in your head. But like,
it's not like American Beauty where you look at the title and then you're like, oh, that's actually quite sinister.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if it was a really whimsical romantic film.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre would be quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it was just a...
If that was the name like a ukulele band.
Yeah. Do you know what? If you didn't know what any of those words meant...
Yeah.
It would sound like quite a nice... They'd go quite pleasing to the ear. Phonetically. Yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It sounds like a band.
Sounds nice, yeah. It doesn't sound horrible.
No.
If you didn't know what a massacre was or a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That sounds quite pleasant. And then you discover it's not... So if you didn't speak English, basically.
Yeah.
And people said, do you want to go see Texas Chainsaw Massacre? You'd probably trust those people.
But even then, the poster would... The imagery on the poster would...
Yeah, that
I even, imagine it's just a massive chainsaw with blood dripping off it.
Yeah, and then the guy with a mask on.
Yeah, well, there
looking
you
really horrible. He's killed
that's
people his whole life.
A hockey mask, is it?
No. You see, this one is a guy with a leather mask. It's called Leatherface.
A leather mask?
It's got a leathery, kind of like horrible leather
he's
mask.
He's got sweaty
on.
Under there.
Oh, he'd be getting really sweaty. That's probably why he's so cross. I was going around hurting people.
Leather mask.
Yeah. There's a leather one. There's a hockey mask. I think is Jason. I might be wrong here. There'll be people who.
I don't watch horror. For someone with such dark thoughts, I don't actually watch horror films.
No, that's probably where you've got those dark thoughts.
That's my brain making up for my.
Put them in your own head.
Yeah.
You've got a Miles Davis T-shirt on. I've just noticed.
Yeah, that's not necessarily indicative of what
we could expect
to come out. But
from your music.
Yeah, I was a bit of a jazz. I had a very weird. Teenage like music palette.
Yeah. Right.
Because I missed Britpop.
Yeah.
And I was kind of musically aware early 2000s, sort of into mid.
Right. How old are you?
25.
Right, yeah.
So like Top of the Pops would be, have like Robbie Williams and the original Sugar Babes, and it was a really bleak time. So I started looking backwards more and more.
Okay.
Whereas all my peers were like into the Killers and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was sort of into George Clinton and James Brown and stuff. And then I sort of grew out of it a bit.
Grew out of being into some of the best musicians ever. Got out of that phase and then you realised
But then started listening to more kind of up-to-date stuff.
Sure.
In sick form. But yeah, there was a point where I was just a proper belligerent.
Was part of it attention?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably, part of it was just like the other way around.
Like, say, I like this stuff that you guys are...
But it just people like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like,
but at the same time, you were right. So it's one of those hard things, isn't it, where you don't want to listen to Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
And you'd rather listen to...
But you can't... Yeah, there's no social occasion where you could put on Kind of Blue.
No.
When you're 14.
Absolutely. Even when you're older, it's quite hard
even
to find
now,
one without appearing normally, like a pompous
It's normally like between 3 and 5 in the morning when no one cares.
Yeah.
And I can just sort of sneak off and put something on.
Yeah, you can't do it. If you're having a dinner and everyone's coming over, you can't. That's too much. It's trying too hard, isn't it? People know what you're trying to do.
Yeah. But for me, it's not trying to do anything. It's just what's on
you genuinely like it.
Yeah. But then... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I've got to be careful all the time. That's pretty much why I've got this show, I think.
Yeah.
I don't get to play my music to people a lot because I know, this isn't quite the right mood, and this isn't... And I have to just put on the stuff that I like, that most people like. That's fine.
Actually, I remember once at a New Year's party this year, Nish Kumar turned up at one point and was like sort of my kind of like carer, because I was in charge of the phone.
Yeah.
And I would keep, I put on like Prototype by Outkast.
Yeah.
Really slow.
Yeah.
And he would like skip it after a minute and everyone would come back to the floor and like get something else on.
Nish would intercept.
Yeah, Nish would intercept. Nish was on the pulse of the room more than I was.
I'm trying to think. I think I may have heard this story from Nish's point of view. I think I may have heard it. I had to step in because he was playing Prototype. I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah, that's probably true.
He probably put Happy Valentine's Day on from that album or something like that.
Even
though it was New Year's, it's probably more appropriate than Prototype.
Yeah.
And so you got a variety?
Yeah, a big variety of stuff.
Anything you're scared of?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Disco.
A lot of disco stuff.
Disco albums are bad.
Okay.
And that's coming from a guy who likes... There's a reason you only know about 10 disco songs.
Yes.
And that's because the albums they came from are bad.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of album tracks then?
Well, yeah, I save albums.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's also quite a lot of dense electronic. I'm worried about Aphex Twin coming up.
But that makes you look good. To be fair, that's a cool thing.
Well, it is.
Even people who hate Aphex Twin go, "Oh, yeah, you're pretty cool though."
Well, like, but I don't like a lot of it. But because I just save albums, maybe I should have been more. I don't quite. Yeah, I just save albums. I used to just download. Just
Aphex Twin is one of those ones where it's quite hard to
defend it.
Admit that, okay, yeah, it's not all great. Because
some of it is just noise, like it is rubbish.
Flim is just a lovely
song.
It's a lovely melodic song.
Really nice melody.
Yeah,
the rest of that album, I cannot stand. So, stuff like that I'm quite worried about coming up.
We've had quite a bit of noise. I've had Sebado come up on my iPod, I think, when Matthew Crosby was here, and just a track that was just an absolute piss take, and they were deliberately, making fun of people for buying it. So, that is just as like that kind of stuff, just as likely to come up on mine.
Oh, great. Okay,
so, we'll share that load.
Sweet.
And there's no way that I can really fully rip you.
Yeah.
The only stuff, like when Angela Barnes was on, and a really cheesy Whitney Houston album track about making love came on, I was able to make fun of that because I haven't got anything like that on mine. But I have got.
Okay.
Plenty of noisy disco.
I might have some of the later Prince mistakes.
Okay.
But apart from that, it should be all right.
Would you, because he's got the vault, hasn't he, that has all of his... He's like recorded so much stuff that we'll never see the light of day.
Oh, has he?
Yeah. His whole mansion or wherever it is he lives is a recording studio. He can record wherever he is. So if he was on the toilet and he wants to record something... He can just start singing in the toilet.
Oh, I've heard this.
And it will have recorded.
Yeah.
And he's got loads of...
a smart house that records whatever he's doing.
Everything's like really clever. And he just records albums all the time, puts them in the vault, and just they never. And there's documentaries that you got Kevin Smith to make a documentary about him.
Although, if album's probably a big word, because if he's on the toilet, the production values will not. There's going to be a lot of album tracks of just sort of toilet admin
grunting,
grunting, just kind of scraping.
Prince changing his name again for reasons why he doesn't want people to know it's him having a dump, probably. Would you, if you were given access to the vault, would you go in there and grab a few albums?
That'd be the ultimate lucky dip, wouldn't it?
You'd love it.
Yeah.
But if you had one, I would hope that he has them like in all dated, so you know what years they're from, can get the sweet spot.
Like 76 to 82,
yeah,
something like that.
Grab that,
and then sorry, mate.
Yeah, I'm not getting what you did in 2010.
It must be really demoralising for artists who were that big and then still release new stuff that just no one is interested in.
Yeah, it must. Well, I did a thing. this sounds completely name droppy, but like the telly thing, and Paul Weller was on it as a musician, and his band was on, and it was so weird how like when he was introduced, everyone went crazy because people didn't know it was going to be him. And then you looked at the audience while he was playing, and they're like, oh yeah, no one's really bothered about Paul Weller's music.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Yeah, I saw what's his name, Brian Wilson, Beach Boys guy.
Love him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not really into the stuff. I'm not obviously a Beach Boys one.
Yeah.
And he did a couple of Beach Boys songs, and then people just started leaving.
Really,
it's quite sad.
That is a shame because actually, with him. I would say he's a bit of an exception to the rule because he did Smile, which was like meant to be a Beach Boys album, and then he got a new band and they released Smile,
right?
And that was like a massive thing. But then after that, they did an album called Lucky Old Son, which was all new stuff, and that is really good.
Right,
like it is really good.
I don't know enough about it.
Maybe it'll come up on my iPod.
Who
knows? That'd be good. In fact, if it doesn't. It'll be the last song we play today. We'll play a song from that album.
Okay,
we can put that on. But let's delve into my iPod first and see what track comes up. So here we go on shuffle now. iPod. Yoni Wolf.
Oh, nice.
Yoni Wolf, Rifle Eyes from the old dope rap tape. That's what that's called.
I love hearing you say stuff like that. You, that won't have been, obviously no one saw that, but you like swung your arm. The old rap tape.
There it is. Lovely. Applause at the end. That's fun, isn't it? That's fun. I mean, he's my favourite musician, so that's...
Oh, great.
That's good for me whenever that comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got no problem there. I don't know if this, if you can reach that wire around to you, Finn. It's kind of tangled up today. Finn just plugging in his laptop. That's got that album on Bandcamp. You ever used Bandcamp?
I do. I've got a stand-up record on there.
Ah, promote it now.
It's free. Pay what you want. It's called Live from the Wardrobe. And
Finn Taylor, spelt with one N.
One N.
That's that's good. I don't often get to do promo.
Big fan of Bandcamp.
Yeah, it's great.
I think it's great.
It's really great. It's just anyone can upload stuff.
Yeah.
You set your own price, is that right?
Yeah, and I know with me, it means I've got like the start of a mailing list now. Just because if people download it, they have to give you their email, which is great.
That is great.
Cuts out the middleman, means you're not a slave to the system. All right, James?
Yeah, you are. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Finn Taylor, never a slave to the system. How's your cup of tea?
Lovely.
You took a nice sip there?
Yeah. Sorry, it's quite big.
It was right into the mic as well. Yeah. Normally people go away from it. But Finn right in there, guzzling a nice cup of tea. that track has a line in it. It says, bacteria gang-banging in the window cracks. That's the...
Bacteria, that's a good line.
Gang-banging in the window cracks.
Mm.
It's a good line.
It's really, really evocative.
It's the kind of line that... It's the kind of line that I really like. But every time I'm in... if I'm in a relationship and I play anything like that around a girlfriend, they'll go, that is horrible. What are you listening to?
Yeah.
And they'll just go, I'm listening to someone talk bacteria gangbanging.
I've never found girls to find filth as poetic as some men can.
Yeah.
And that's always troubled me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's got to be I'm sure there's a decent enough reason for it.
Yeah.
We're just scumbags, I guess. who get comfort. I always find it comforting that, because with him, he writes a lot of lyrics that about how awful a person he is, and a lot of it, you know, just about going and wanking in museum toilets and stuff like that.
Yeah, great. I love all that.
And I just feel like, great, I'm a better person than him.
Yeah.
And I like listen to it. Like, there's someone confessing to being such a little scumbag.
Yeah. But it's more gritty and real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to hear someone saying how great they are all the time and how much they love someone.
Yeah, boring.
It is boring. I went past the Magic Mike poster today.
Oh, yeah.
Magic Mike 2.
Yeah, with all the just the buff guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought he was laughing at that.
Yeah, whereas if they all had T-shirts on but no trousers.
Yep. Yeah.
Rather than just the other way around.
Very different.
Very
look.
Funny film.
Very, very funny. Have you seen the first Magic Mike film? I don't even know.
No, I haven't. I saw Jurassic World yesterday.
I saw it recently.
Did you?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it was exactly what I hoped it would be, which was equally shit and equally brilliant.
I was a bit pissed. I got a bit pissed before.
Yeah.
I thought, I think is the best way to handle that kind of film.
Yeah.
Which is essentially a B film. It's like a B movie.
Yeah.
But dressed up as a... It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So
yes.
I was pissing myself. Me and my girlfriend and our friend Patrick were laughing a lot of the time when other people weren't.
Yeah.
And there was a guy behind us who whenever a dinosaur got released...
Yeah.
He would just go, oh, shit. He was really involved. And like, there was a point where there was a guy running away from like a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
And he just went, mate. Really funny hearing someone that involved.
Also, that's like, you know, you kind of think, what were you expecting in the film? You know, you go, oh no.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be like, you know, for me, every time a dinosaur was released, I was like, yes,
was
here
actually,
we go.
Yeah.
Brilliant. This is why I'm here.
And I was so impressed with how early they just got to it. And
yeah,
it was
yeah.
maybe 20 minutes of exposition.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went, look, the three plot points.
Yeah.
Brotherly love.
Which was pointless. They could have got rid of that one. Could have got rid of that one, in my opinion.
The military harnessing. Yeah, that was resolved within two scenes.
I don't think that even needed to be in there.
The military harnessing dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And then just sort of a woman's sort of corporate career over family.
Which they didn't really do that very well.
No.
They fudged that. I thought the military thing was great because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think the lady one sounded very much like it was written by a man who didn't know what he was on about. That was a bit definitely...
All she needs to do to solve that problem, if it is a problem, is just take a top off and start running.
That's what he seemed to think. Yeah, yeah, that's basically what he was saying. Yeah, just do that and let the bloke kiss you whenever he wants, even though he's done nothing to really...
I did think that bit where the guy with the sort of the hipster with a tash...
Yeah,
the nerdy guy.
Yeah,
where he tried to kiss that lady and she went, "I've got a boyfriend." I thought that
that's
was
very
funny.
That's very funny.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Nish Kumar refers to that man as White Nish because he does look like White Nish Kumar.
Yeah, maybe
he does look like him.
Okay.
He does. He's White Nish.
Yeah,
also slightly more handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Well.
Come on.
Well, maybe. Yeah. Okay. I'm happy. Yeah.
That's what Nish should say. I'm speaking for Nish.
I'm still thinking about whether he looks like a White Nish.
Yeah, he does. Believe me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he looks like White Nish.
All right.
Yeah, he does. He does look like White Nish. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Recommend it to anyone going to see it. Oh, but although, you know, I mean, it is pretty sexist and at times racist. But, go and watch it and see what you think. What's your favourite? You got a favourite film? What you'd watch over and over?
The Blues Brothers, I think.
I've never seen it.
Oh,
I know.
Well,
it's one of those ones where every time I say I've never seen it,
I think it's just because I watched it when I was like 10,
right?
And my dad like, oh, this is a 15, but I'll let you watch it.
Yeah,
you
like
it, and it's just ridiculous. It's obscene. It's so funny. Yeah, it's great. It's really good.
My dad had that with us with Groundhog Day and Rain Man.
Yeah,
he said it was very important that we watched both of them. He said it's very important you watch these films. I don't know why those two in particular.
I think there's more school that I like, which watch over and over again. I watch each of these films maybe three times a year.
Yeah,
and that's The Big Lebowski.
Yeah,
Con Air.
Yeah,
The Rock.
Yeah,
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah,
like those sort of like 90s, which Jurassic World was a bit like, to be honest. Like those 90s films where it was kind of shamelessly ridiculous.
Yes,
and
a three of those. Nicolas Cage films.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure that out.
Cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
Disclosure, yeah. But I, like, just, every time I watch it, I just imagine, especially Con Air, with where every action scene is, they have a guy really high up the fretboard on a guitar.
Right,
just
shredding.
Masturbatingly shredding over it. I just imagine him doing that to a video of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes me laugh every time.
It's his day's work.
But I'm doing it in a take, yeah.
Steve Vai or someone. Joe Satriani.
Yeah, yeah. He might come up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Great. I was by osmosis obsessed with Joe Satriani in school.
Really? We were also obsessed with Dragon Force.
I wasn't. They were later on. Like, when I was in school, yeah, Matthew Butler and my brother both loved Joe Satriani. And I was in a band with them both.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of listening to that. And one song that we could all play. So we played that together. We should get onto yours already. We should start.
Yeah, okay.
We should play Finn Taylor's on Shuffle. Right. See what the first one is. I mean, what's your dream opener here?
Oh, here we go. Well, I've just...
Oh, you started
it
already?
I paused it. So, but this is the one that's come up.
Is it playing?
No, I've paused it.
Oh, okay. Well, is it looking good?
Yeah, it's Mount Kimby, who I really like.
Okay, I've never heard.
It's electronic, sort of. I'll let it speak for itself.
Okay, great. Here we go. Before I Move Off by Mount Kimby.
Yeah,
that's from Finn Taylor's. We're doing your Spotify, aren't we?
Spotify
today?
Library. We're happy with that as a first track.
Yeah,
happy
you should
that.
Be. Very good. For the whole track, trying to say something and being cut off. Yeah. Recorded that vocal over the phone in a tunnel, I think. I know nothing of Mount Kimby.
I think they're Brighton based duo. Right. That was the first album that came out while I was at uni, so that I think it might be like 2011.
Yeah.
And then that got very well reviewed.
Yeah.
You like the reviews? In the kind of Pitchfork Guardian music circles.
Okay. So David Trent is the other person we've had on who likes Pitchfork.
I don't like it.
Yeah,
I have a lot of problems with a lot of the criticism on it.
Okay,
but it is a good place to go if I'm struggling to find something new.
They're probably
they just review everything.
Right. Okay.
So it's like a good place. It's a good database.
Yeah.
But they have a second album that came out that I think may have had the odd poster on the tube actually.
Okay.
So that got them a bit bigger.
Tube status.
That's always a sign of something. But
I had a weird feeling. There's a band from Kettering called Temples.
They're like a psych.
Yeah.
Yeah, psychedelic one.
And they were like in bands when I was in bands as well.
Of course,
so like
yeah.
they were, you know, one of them was in like a Blink-182 style band when he was 14.
Uh-huh.
When I was in a nu metal band when I was 15 or whatever, and the front cover of their album is the four of them standing in front of Triangular Lodge, which is a National Trust building on the outskirts of Kettering.
Uh-huh.
It's a triangular building. And I remember walking through the tube and seeing this massive picture of Triangular Lodge. Being like, why is there a Triangular Lodge picture on the tube? And then going up and realising, that's James Bagshaw. And that's everyone. And it was just so bizarre to be walking around and they're going, they've got tube status.
Yeah.
Tube status. And Triangular Lodge has now got tube status as well, thanks to them.
They're a good band.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't even know. The first I heard of them existing was people saying to me, there's a Kettering band who were really good. And then I didn't even know who was in it.
And a bit in your head, you must have been like, nah, I would know. I play music in Kettering.
I was thinking, they're probably not from Kettering. People are probably confused. And they got then you go, oh, yeah, it's those guys. And it's always like, it's nice seeing stuff like that, but how you realise that so many bands who make it and get somewhere are like all the people who work the hardest in a bunch of different bands.
Yeah.
Locally. And then they just went, why are we bothering to all be the leaders of these bands with lazy people in?
Yeah.
We should all just get together and do a band and then it's fine.
Well, I went to school with my best friend at school. His brother is the bassist in Foals.
Yeah.
Who all was at the school but about 5 years ahead of us.
Yeah.
And so I went to one of the gigs they used to do in Oxford at house parties before their first album. But it's also the school that spawned like Radiohead.
Right, yeah.
So it's quite a big musical tradition of like quite good.
Yeah.
So I can't really have that thing where you can have you should check out this band from Kettering, my hometown. I used to play with them. They're quite good.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone knows that Radiohead and Foals are really, yeah, really good. I can't
believe it. Radiohead.
Yeah, this thing called Radiohead. I went to school with those guys. Yeah.
I did detention in the same room that Tom York once did detention in
yeah.
years before me. Yeah, that's yeah. At my school, I think the biggest band was a band called Defenestration, who are a new metal band.
That's a great name for a band.
Great name for a band. Chucking things out of windows, and they were like, yeah, like the singer was like, she was a girl with pink hair, and they got in Kerrang, and they like there was a comic strip in Kerrang called Pandora, which is like about a typical like alternative. Girl who like you know would always dye her hair a different colour every week and would always have a different musician draw you know a cartoon of a different like musician in the comic strip each week and right. I remember one week it was Jen from Defenestration and like the amount that Ketman alternative scene should have gone crazy for it but instead were just like what she's sold out now.
Go, really?
She didn't ask to be drawn in it and it's really cool that it's happened. I don't know why the amount of jealousy towards her.
That was to get Kettering Alternative Scene's biggest problem.
They got the music video got on MTV, sold out apparently, you know.
I used to get confused between Kerrang and Bizarre.
But that is don't make that mistake.
I did. Once bought Kerrang and was very disappointed.
Really? You wanted to buy Bizarre.
It was that way around.
Yeah.
I thought Kerrang was a sort of jazz mag with goth chicks.
Right, yeah.
But it's not.
Not at all.
That's how out of the loop I was when I was a teenager about current music.
Oh, the first time I started reading Kerrang! It's so exciting.
Yeah.
The world came alive, Finn. I stopped just buying what everyone else was buying. I started getting into stuff myself. I think that's one of the most exciting parts of your life.
Everyone else was reading Kerrang! And I was just on Wikipedia looking up John Coltrane.
You were trying to find out, It's absolutely fair enough. I am one of the members of Defenestration is now a... he's the Green Party candidate in Kettering.
Really?
He's the leader of the Green Party in Kettering now. Yeah,
that's nice.
I'm very proud of him. You go back and realise like he did it quite late because he realised there wasn't a Green Party in Kettering, so he just decided to start it up. And he knew he wasn't going to win, but it's really good to see someone getting behind it, doing something. Obviously only Brighton, which you've already mentioned, has got a
I voted Green.
Did you?
And I recycled my leaflet, so I won the best person of the election.
Absolutely perfect, yeah. What area do you live in?
Well, I had to vote in my parents' constituency because I sublet illegally. But that's Cameron's Whitney.
Oh, really, is it?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know if you heard, but he's still in.
He is pretty solid there.
He's solid, yeah.
Yeah, he's not worrying at all.
And... yeah, the green guy's just... I think he's called Stuart, and he's like he's just an old hippie. Like, he's just
I like thinking that there's no surname.
Proper beige fleece.
Yeah.
Like, bandana. Great, I just thought, yeah.
His name is just Stuart as well. Yeah. There's no surname on the ballot.
Yeah.
Stuart Green.
Yeah.
Lovely. Brighton's the only one... I know someone who moved back to Brighton in order to get the Greens in, and he kind of like, that is the only seat... I don't think the Greens have to worry about.
Yeah,
I don't think you really have to go back there and join in.
That's not really that environmentally friendly, is it?
He drove there.
To drive from where did he drive from?
I don't know. Where I think he lived in London.
Right, yeah. That's not that bad.
Yeah,
but if it was like Aberdeen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they'd probably just rather you just
got a big removal, got a big moving van.
Yeah,
moved all of his stuff down there. Yeah. Let's switch back onto mine. See what the next track is. So far, I think we've both had tracks that
we're happy with.
Similar genres as well, though.
Yeah,
we're kind of like not exactly the same, but electronic,
sort of alt electronic. Kind of,
yeah. So we'll see if this next one will change things. Here we go. It's Dinosaur Feathers. Dinosaur Feathers on FUBAR there with On My Mind. Finn Taylor liked that and wrote it down.
I have indeed.
So that he will listen to more. They're very good.
Yeah, I like them.
We were talking about Jurassic Park earlier and then Dinosaur Feathers comes up. Yeah, I mean, we're conjuring up stuff. That's what's happening. That's what's happening today. So if you want anything in particular coming up on your Spotify, you might want to start deliberately talking about things that are related to it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And that's from their Daytrotter session. I've talked about Daytrotter a lot on this, but Daytrotter's a website where you can join it for not much money and then download loads and loads of live sessions extra money. And it's a good way of, like, if you just like a band or if you've been recommended a band, just see if they're on day trot or get their session, and then you just find out if you like them or not, and then you can buy more.
What's Dinosaur Feather's story? What's their vibe?
I have no idea. I got into them through just going on. I was trying to find walk-in music for a show I was doing.
Yeah.
And I wanted a certain vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just basically going on iTunes or Amazon and putting in bands that were the kind of tone I wanted, and then seeing the whole people also bought this and then buying songs by those bands.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how I got into them. I played Yoni Wolf earlier. It was him, I think. I put Y in, which is Yoni Wolf's band, and it was like people also like this, and it led to them at some point. And I ended up not even using them for that show. But
it's really annoying when you find a song you love and you thought, I'm going to use it as walk on, and then it just ruined. I can't listen to a song I really like anymore because it just reminds me.
What song?
It's Beverly Kills by Ariel Pink.
Right.
Which was my walk on music for my show last year in Edinburgh.
Yes.
And it just reminds me of just sitting in the tech pit watching people come in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And it's that's too much.
I think in terms of walk on music, I've only ever used songs that I wouldn't listen to normally anyway. So last year I had this big dubstep song that my friend wrote, so I wouldn't really. And then this year I've got a hymn, so like I wouldn't
of
really.
Of course you do, that makes so much sense.
Yeah
You should come out to hymns the whole time.
Yeah, so I wouldn't really listen to that normally anyway. So but yeah, walk in music, like last year I had this guy called Jim Sullivan,
uh-huh.
and like this album called UFO is like one of my favourite albums, and I managed to not have it ruined for me.
That's good. Yeah, I've had that before, but not with last year. I just can't listen to it.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Or maybe it'll come up and I'll be able to listen to it again.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you need it in a different context. There's things that can ruin songs for you. Obviously, relationships.
Yeah.
Can ruin a whole band for you.
Yeah.
Films and books. And
a whole genre or... everything.
You never want to get anywhere near
ruin
it.
Ruin your life.
It's good when you kind of face it. I think the longer you leave it, the more it's ruined with stuff like that, with a song. So if a song reminds you of a relationship...
Yeah. And if you don't listen to it again once you've moved on for a while, it's gone.
The more you put it off.
Yeah.
Like if it comes up on shuffle and you skip it, like a week later, that is the song ruined for you now. Whereas if you just let it play.
Yeah.
And you go, I'm just going to, this song is, I'm going to, it's going to be fine.
Just deal with it.
I had to really, you know, but I've had it at the end of every relationship really. But
I had a thing with my ex-girlfriend. Her favourite band was LCD Sound System before I got into them.
Right.
And it took me ages to realise that the reason I was deliberately not getting into them was because she had broken up with me. And I was
out
of spite.
Yeah.
So like my best friend was like, you need to listen to them, they're really good. And I was like, nah, I don't think they are. like, why? It's totally up your street. Yeah. It's also the whole ethos of James Murphy is totally your thing. I was like, nah, I don't.
Yeah.
Nah, he's a prick. Don't like him. Don't like his music. I haven't heard none of it. Purely just to spite somebody who wasn't
there. You
just
can't say to your friend, because it makes me sad, okay?
It'll make me feel sad. Not even the sound, just the name on the iPod makes me sad.
It makes me sad and I don't want to feel sad anymore.
Yeah.
I've heard a few songs. I've had to. It's a big thing when it eventually you go, I'm listening to that song.
Yeah.
I've just got to do it.
Yeah.
And just listen to it. And sometimes the worst ones actually are when I introduce them to the song. They loved it.
Yeah.
It becomes a song that we both love, and then we split up, and then they've ruined a song that I already liked.
I had that a bit with going back to my. Do you know the 80s band Zap?
No, I don't.
Right.
I know the kids' TV show Zap that used to have Neil Buchanan in it.
Do you know California Love by Tupac Shakur?
Yes, right. I do know that song.
So the vocoder bits.
Yeah, okay.
California Love.
Yeah.
That is by a guy called Roger Troutman,
right.
Who was with his like three brothers.
Yeah.
This is classic like sort of 80s African-American brothers making bands. Yeah. So it was in Zap. I think it was like six of them.
Yeah.
And it was just all synth, all drum machine.
Right.
All the lyrics were sung with vocoder.
Great.
So it was just like an electronica soul.
Yeah.
And you probably recognise a couple of their jams.
Okay.
But yeah, I got an ex-girlfriend into it, and because it was what I was listening to at the time. I was like 17. Haven't really been able to enjoy it.
No.
Since, because she's like still like posting on Facebook. Like,
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was my thing.
Yeah.
You've just kind of sponged off.
Yeah, there's a few things like that when it's... Yeah, I mean,
I don't think she's listened to it with the same amount of irony that I was as well.
Right, yeah.
Which is sound.
Yeah, she really seriously likes that. Yeah. It's really good. Vocoder is fun.
It's really fun. When I first heard it, I was like, what?
For every song,
I was like,
is
a robot singing? Yeah. This is amazing. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it must have been insane to hear that before you saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at the time. I always think of someone listening to whatever that Beatles song is with the first synthesizer. It's off Abbey Road.
Right, okay.
And just like their face melting and just like just everything they thought about reality collapsing.
What is happening?
What is that noise?
Yeah.
Because like, nothing must have it must sound like nothing before.
Yeah.
They must have really been terrified.
Because we're not really getting much of that now. I mean, I guess there is sounds that are like, but it's mainly stuff like drum and bass and whatever, where you get people who are really into how something sounds, and they'll be in their car with their subwoofers and go, listen to that bass. Yeah. Honestly, listen to it. And they're really excited, and they're like, you know, they're producers themselves or they're DJs, and they're like, listen to it. And you're sitting there going, I don't know what I'm listening out for.
Yeah.
It just sounds deeper than, it's making me feel uncomfortable, like I want to shit myself in your car, but that's about it.
Yeah, there's nothing where it's actually like a melodic thing.
Yeah.
Like a new noise.
Something like I haven't heard that.
I haven't heard anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I think my first girlfriend, my favourite author, one of my favourite albums, and one of my favourite films are all things she introduced me to.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of all right. Now it's like, I feel like they're mine.
Yeah.
And she can't really
play
many. But like,
she basically built your personality.
Yeah, it feels like it. Like, it feels like it in a way that like, and then when I, sometimes I hesitate to like, so for example, Neutral Milk Hotel are the band that she introduced me to. And I love that album. It's one of my favourite albums. But every relationship I've been in since, I've hesitated to introduce that girlfriend because I think, am I just kind of going to her, hey, here's what another girlfriend got me into, and now I want you to like it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They feel weird about it. They feel like if you found out, not that they ever would, but if you found out that someone else got me into this who I've now broken up with, would that spoil it?
Yeah, I think it would.
I think it would.
Yeah.
So that's why I just don't do it.
My current girlfriend and I just don't. We have different tastes on music. I mean, I'm right.
Yeah.
And she's wrong.
What does she like?
All the stuff that in the early 2000s I decided was jazz was better than it.
Okay.
So Archer she Monkeys. Would quite like, all that. And she'll put on, not even Arctic Monkeys, she'll put on stuff like Breathe by Blue Cantrell.
Right, okay,
Sort of Let Me Blow Your Mind by Eve. All
that
kind of sort of like that period of R&B before Beyonce really moved it on.
Yes.
So, kind of weak 5 years. She's into that.
No one likes before Beyonce. BB.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah. But she's quite happy to let me just sort of be pretentious in my own head.
It's good.
So it's fine.
Yeah. One of the worst feelings I find. I get so kind of like easily depressed within relationships if like really stereotypical relationship things happen.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, if for example, we would actually have a disagreement about the toilet seat being up or down, I would want to kill myself. I'd be like, I can't believe we should just break up. I can't believe we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
And same with like, if I'm playing music and whoever I'm with goes, this is rubbish, can you skip this please?
Yeah.
I just feel like it's such a personal thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't handle this. I'm really sad now for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Because you criticised what I was listening to. But, you know, whatever. Let's play your one and see if I was your girlfriend, if I would like it. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it?
That's a really Partridge thing to say.
Yeah, let's see if I was your girlfriend, if I would like your music.
What's coming up? I'm scared. Oh, it's Splash.
Is that the band's name?
Two H's, yeah.
It's two H's, of course. Yeah. Lovely. There we go. That ended when we weren't expecting. We're talking about podcasts, and then we just suddenly went, "Oh yeah, that's that song's finishing." Splash with two H's. What's the song called?
Head Spins.
Head Spins. And there, I guessed 80s, and then you said no.
I think that is from Pitchfork's albums of 2013.
Sounds good.
I think that's very recent. Yeah,
sounds good.
I think they're Australian, but that might be complete rubbish. I think they're British. Now I've said that.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you said Australian, I was going, because I thought they sounded a bit like The Clean, which are a New Zealand band, and that could have been,
I don't know them,
who are also a bit like Pavement, but Pavement came after The Clean.
Right.
The Clean are good.
Okay.
I've only just started listening to them, so into them a lot. Splash with two H's is fun, isn't it? That's fun, isn't it? Spell your name like that.
Yeah, they clearly just started with a call Splash, and then that Tom Daly show came out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, God.
was that literally the thing they were worried about getting confused
with? They were too well known as Splash. They had to just, like orally, that they had to put another H in the end.
Yeah. Is that genuinely, why are you tricking me? I think you're tricking me.
No, I've made that up.
Yeah. So it was pretty. Did you watch that Tom Daly show?
No.
Neither did I.
I watched the advert and felt I've seen everything.
Yeah.
Because it was 3 seconds of Joe Brand falling from a height into water.
Did Joe Brand do it?
I think so.
There's so many things now that are just like, I mean, I it's been said a million times, everyone thinks it. But everyone doesn't think it, does it? Everyone doesn't think that these shows are rubbish because they're really popular.
Yeah, and so that's the depressing thing. But I've yet to meet someone, or maybe it's that I just have not, you know, when you meet someone and within 3 seconds your brain just sort of goes, no, I'm not going to ever be friends with you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that. But no one I'm actually like socialised with has like watches anything, any of these shows.
But yeah, I reckon if you spoke to like people who have it on, probably don't really watch it.
Yeah.
They're not sitting down and watching it the same someone watches Game of Thrones or something. Don't
having,
I mean,
having said that, no one I know like vote. I thought Labour would have an overwhelming majority on my Facebook feed. So
yes.
What do I know?
It's because, with that, it's because if anyone admits that they're going to vote Tory,
the
Labour velociraptors leap upon them and tear them to shreds, or the so-called Liberals.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that. I think really the nature of your part is that they can do that. I mean, you have to remember.
But, it's mad, isn't it, how hostile people get? It's crazy.
Especially people who are meant to be left-wing.
Yeah. Like, I will cut your throat. I'll cut your throat and hang you. If you vote.
The internet now is just terrifying.
Yeah.
The amount that it gets, like, someone was telling me, I didn't know this had happened, but so someone, there's a guy driving along in his van, his work van,
yeah.
He's cut up by a cyclist, stopped, he was yelling at the cyclist, really yelling at him. Someone filmed it on their camera phone from across the street. They posted that on their Facebook. Within an hour, there'd been loads of comments saying, you know, fuck this guy, awful person, you know, that cyclist is being green, that guy doesn't care about the environment, all this. And then someone had also found the guys, because by you know, the van and stuff, they'd worked out the company, the guy, who he is, what his full name is.
Yeah.
So they worked out that, going, hey everyone, it's this guy. And then they'd gone to his Twitter, all these people trolling him on Twitter, saying how awful he was. Found out that the company he owns, it's like a van company or something like that, they have Saturday afternoon, they have a service where cyclists can come in and get their bikes mended for free, punches and stuff mended for free. Everyone was like, it's hypocritical. you yelled at a cyclist, you don't really mean that, you don't care about it really. Not for a second, considering he just might have had a bad day, he was a bit angry, he could have got some bad news on the phone, someone cut him up, he shouted at him, even though he gives free puncture repair. Someone else scrolls down his timeline on Twitter. This is all on the day that it got posted. They find that one day he went out in the garden to do a workout because his son was using something in the house. He couldn't use the running machine or whatever it was he has in his house. So he's like, oh, my son's using the thing. I had to do a workout in the garden today, bare feet. And then it did a photo of his muddy feet. And he took it in the kitchen or the bathroom. Uh-huh. Really shiny black floor. And if you really zoom in on the black floor, you can see his reflection in it, and it's just wearing shorts. You can see up his shorts. You can see his penis. You can see that it was a cold day, and they're zooming really. They made a big picture of it, and they're like, "There you go. That's that guy. Here's his name. Here's where he works. Here's a dick." And you should never ever shout at people. Oh, it's don't shout at cyclists.
God.
And it's like. That's another
reason to hate cyclists when they rise like that.
Yeah, it's like Jesus. Like, it's getting scary now. It's getting scary. I'm going to say it.
It's getting scary.
We haven't got secrets anymore. Nothing's gonna. As soon as you do something bad, if anyone's around with a camera phone, you don't even have to be a celebrity or anything. It's the person making a mistake.
Yeah,
get destroyed by all these perfect people.
So you know the the recent video of the Texas cop at the pool party?
No,
You haven't seen
it? No.
Have you heard about it?
No.
Right, so it's the latest outrage.
Right, okay.
So it's another kind of like white cop arresting, like manhandling, being over violent with black teenagers in America.
Right.
And there's this like mobile phone footage of like a pool party. There's been a fight somewhere.
Yes.
And these cops just come storming in out of nowhere, and like he's like being, it's horrible, like he's holding this like this black girl to the ground and like sitting on her when she's done nothing really,
right?
And so all her mates like get off, and then he gets his gun out. That's the outrage, that's why he's been suspended. But the start of the clip is him doing a it's really funny. He runs and I think he sort of like falls over,
right,
but sort of styles it out into a barrel roll and it keeps going. And I think the reason he got so angry was that he'd been caught on film
doing
an unnecessary barrel roll.
Like that's gonna get turned. He probably knew that'll get turned into a gif unless I do something
so horrific,
really outrageous, and I get suspended. I can't do something.
Yeah.
That overshadows all of this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm in trouble.
It's really funny. That bit. The rest of it's horrific.
Yeah, the rest of it's really horrible. But, there's a book called The Circle by Dave Eggers, who is the author that girlfriend introduced me to. and it's all about that kind of stuff, oversharing on the internet and things like that.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to some people who think that the amount that people know about us on the internet is good. So it means that people have less to hide. And, you know, and that it'll be good if one day it ends up that we haven't really got any secrets anymore. I'm like, no, I really, really don't want that to happen.
Because people will go insane.
It would be so bad.
I read an article yesterday about how the end point of all this technology is that our brains are just going to be connected to every other brain.
Yeah.
But this article was about what happens if one of those brains has a stroke. So it was taking that all our brains are going to be connected as like an assumption that's going to happen. So this is like, well, this thing that's going to happen definitely.
Yeah.
Wonder what would happen if someone had a stroke. And I was like, well, that's not a good thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can just talk and just think. We have everyone's thoughts.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That'd be horrible.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
But it's one of those things, isn't it, where you kind of like,
you think, am I just being a stick in the mud? This is actually, people at the time would be like, I can't believe you didn't get on board with the whole like transparent brain sharing
thing. The one
thing.
Brain thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, if everyone, the worry is if everyone does it. Because if enough people do it, and then like, I can't talk to my mates unless I join this, the brain thing.
Yeah.
Unless I have one brain with everyone else, I can't even have a chat with Nish.
Yeah. Nish would adopt it.
Nish would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
He'd love it. Talking to everyone, running his mouth off. No.
There'd be like cafes that would be kind of sacred spaces, just people without this brain stuff.
Yeah, we'd be seen as proper Luddites.
Yeah.
Going, why are you not joining in with the brain?
It's terrifying if that is a thing.
Oh, well, if like, you know, so some people, there's a thing in that book, which is all, you know, it's fictitious. It's all like, you know, it's a set in some non-specific future and whatever, but where politicians start wearing webcams around their necks like a necklace so that people can see
they can be accounted for.
People see that I'm not a liar, I'm not and then anyone not doing that, it seems being suspicious or whatever, and then it just but then it starts from there and then goes out to, and I remember when I read that in that book, I was like, well, this is just a fantasy book and I don't really believe any of it, and I don't think this is actually going to happen. I think it's a little bit far-fetched. But at the minute, with stories like that, with the guy in the small dick, I'm like, oh no, I like, think this actually might happen.
If you're a politician, you just shouldn't have, like the guy called Wiener in New York, who sent like Snapchat dick pics. Just to help yourself out, mate.
Yeah.
Your name's Wiener.
Yeah.
Don't take a photo of your dick.
Even
if you weren't a politician, you'd get, you know,
people would go, look at Wiener's
bantered Wiener. To shit at the pub, at least. If you're a politician, just don't take a picture of your dick.
Yeah.
Or just have some awareness.
I mean, they shouldn't even need to be told that.
Yeah.
That should be, it goes without saying.
Yeah. That's like, I want to be a politician. And then someone else, if you hear that, you go, right, well, I'm never going to see a picture of your penis.
Yeah, yeah. In that case,
you're a politician. You're not
putting that away for good.
Yeah.
There's a guy, what was his name? Brooks Newmark or something his name was. And he took a photo of himself in his paisley pyjamas. I think it was Brooks. Yeah, it was Brooks Newmark, and it's a politician. Just to him, but he was sending it to someone he thought was a lady, but it was a male journalist who was tricking him, just getting dick pics and then going, "Guess what, mate? I have just fallen for the oldest trick in the book.
That is the oldest trick.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how have you even fallen for this?
Yeah.
His paisley pyjamas as well.
What? I don't know what they are.
Paisley is a very fuddy-duddy pattern. Right. You will have seen it a lot. Yeah. It's the one that's kind of like, almost like one half of a yin-yang. And it's like... Do you know what? Describing paisley is really hard.
Right, I'm going to look it up.
So, Google paisley. Well, play us off of my iPod and you can Google paisley in the meantime. Okay, let's see what the next one on mine is. Mine is, and Finn's going to Google paisley. Why not? Ah, it's a polar bear. It's quite a dreary one, but nice. One of the only polar bear songs that has vocals on it as well. So here we go. Polar bear, life that ends too soon is what that song is called. I mean, you know, can't get bleaker than that. Can't get. It's not a cheery sounding song. Why am I giving you that? Why?
You're just giving me the. I just wanted to give you. iPod.
I've got my iPod.
Classic charger.
I'm charging it up, and I've got it plugged in. That album is brilliant. That's probably the most dreary song on it. Also, it's the only one that has vocals on it. But I love that song. I think that's still
life that ends too soon.
Life that ends too soon. I mean, that is one of the most depressing titles for a song.
Yeah.
I don't think you can come up with anything more depressing than calling it Life That Ends Too Soon.
Unless it was Life That Ends Too Soon, full stop, good.
Good, yeah, yeah. And I Am Glad.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that is singing. They're like, you were saying about when you started getting into jazz stuff, that was like, from when I started getting into, I've only started getting into older stuff, like classic stuff,
yeah,
in the last year.
Oh really?
Yeah, like I would always be like, I've got a, so I when I was probably about the same age you were when you started getting to Miles Davis,
yeah,
I was like, I'm gonna start getting to jazz, but it was all current, yeah, jazz groups. Yeah, it was, yeah, like, yeah, Polar Bear and the Bad Plus and stuff like that.
Right,
I was,
okay,
getting all that stuff, and I never listened to old stuff, and only in the last year have I like listened to like Joni Mitchell for the first time.
Yeah, that's not my
I really like Joni Mitchell. Really like her. But there's loads of old music. I know she's not jazz, but there's old music. So
yeah,
like, you know,
right.
Neil Young, never bothered until the last year.
I still need to do
Hendrix.
That.
Yeah.
You haven't listened to Hendrix?
No, it's never bothered with Hendrix. Been in the house.
Yeah.
See, in my dad's stuff, but I never bothered until the last year.
See, that's
year.
Weird. For some reason, I always felt like I had to know everything that had happened before I could start.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I had to start with Elvis.
You've got to start from the beginning.
And then Beatles.
Yeah.
And then like go through the 70s.
You approached it like a box set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, and now I feel like I'm finally up to date and I'm waiting for the new stuff to come out.
We like that. We started watching the news as well. We're like, I've got to go right back to the beginning.
Yep. Read the Bible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just built it all up.
Yeah.
And like, oh, this is in context now.
I've done everything chronologically.
I now understand. And you really get into that. I think the news gets good around season 6. You know, it takes a while. It's a bit slow at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. There's a big,
really get into
big
the
lull.
Yeah, but it pays off. It's really worth it once you get into it. So much going on, and all the different stories interlink.
What are you thinking? Season 6 is? That's, I haven't been.
I don't know.
I haven't been able to say anything since you said season 6. I've been going. Right,
season six,
because
season 6 of the news. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking since it started being televised, but I don't know when it started being televised. So the war.
The war is season 6.
Yeah, it's the war season 6.
Are we right?
First
since,
World
since
War?
Television, so
Second World War.
Yeah, Second World War is the start.
It's the start,
which is a ballsy first series.
Yeah, I mean, really going in there.
Yeah, and then if anything, season 2 is a hell of a departure. When it's
about
the National Health Service.
Yeah, so season 6. I don't know. Would probably not.
Probably the sort of 70s.
Yeah,
bad.
This is when.
What, are we talking?
Drugs.
Winter of Discontent.
And when was NAMM?
That was, late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
That's back to its, Series 6 goes back to its roots.
Yeah.
War.
Back to war again, but they move it somewhere else. And yeah. Yeah, I think NAMM would be pretty golden age for when you really start getting into the news.
Yeah.
And this is good.
Yeah, so I would have been about 12 when I was getting into NAMM.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we can really appreciate that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's complex. I mean, there's a... Stuff like NAMM.
that's such a great. You wouldn't hear that sentence on any other radio station.
Yeah.
Stuff like NAMM.
Stuff like NAMM, right? But you know, I think I know so little about it, and yet everything I know about NAMM is from. I'm going to keep calling it Nam.
No one in Kettering says Nam.
Yeah, no one goes without going. I've been getting into Nam lately. Everything I know about it is from films.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't, you know, done any research on it, watched any kind of serious documentary about it. I've just watched films, and that's all I know about Nam. Is
I went to school with a Korean guy called Nam, and so
he had a lot of films made about him.
So
Forrest Gump,
right?
It's probably the majority of it. I still haven't seen Apocalypse Now,
haven't you? So,
no, I haven't.
Oh, but you, yeah.
Full
you
Metal Jacket.
See. Yeah, you seen Platoon?
No.
I'd watch Apocalypse Now before you watch Platoon.
Right. Yeah, I should watch Apocalypse Now. I should watch it.
You should watch it. Yeah,
should.
Not to be that guy, but...
Well, it's true that I should watch it.
Yeah, it's an objective fact.
You put it off, don't you?
Yeah.
You put it off because you think, it might not be.
What haven't I watched that I should watch? I can't answer that.
Well, you didn't know what Paisley was earlier on, so, you know...
I found out what that is now.
And say how you would describe it?
Cruise ship entertainer's shirt.
Yeah.
Chico's shirt.
Chico, we nearly got on the show. Amanda, is there any progress on Chico? Chico, stop returning your messages. Well, tell what. Oh, he's got a new dance craze for the summer, Chico.
That was his reason.
Yeah. He's working on that. Can't come on this show. Mm. I mean, Chico's iPod would probably be mainly Chico,
yeah,
I'd imagine. Mainly him
and
voice memos to himself as well.
Yeah.
Must work on it. That's his real voice.
Yeah.
Must work on new dance project for the summer. Chico, I can't even remember where he first came to.
One of those shows we were so disparaging
about. One of those shows that we hate, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of those shows that we hate so much. Probably.
I always forget that you off stage are quite similar to me, that you're actually quite cynical.
Yeah.
And I always forget that.
Yeah.
I always watch you do stand up, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's all trinkets and. Dr. Pepper and...
Yes.
I mean, that's a very insulting way to describe your act.
I'm absolutely taking it on the chin, though. I mean, you saw me taking it.
Yeah.
We've just been speaking about Nam, so it puts it in perspective. I'm kind of fine with people saying it's trinkets and Dr. Pepper. Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Well, my stand-up, a lot of the time, is, you know, the cynicism is subtext.
Yeah, it is. It's great. It's really
but,
great.
It's meant to be like... But yeah, no, absolutely. You wear it on your sleeve on stage. You go on stage say,
"Yeah, I get sleeves made.
I hate this." Yeah. I've kind of done that before on like other shows where like I have to, but then like if you're on a show with someone like you know, who's quite popular, if you're on a show with Chico, for example,
yeah,
I would have to play the cynical card. Otherwise, you're going to get confused with them. You don't want people to go, "Oh, maybe they all like." They all think that selfies are cool.
It's hard, isn't it? Because there's some. I remember watching you on Buzzcocks. Who was the, what was the? Who did Saturday Night?
Wigfield.
Yeah. And that was great because he was totally
uncynical
about it.
Yeah, I genuinely do.
But you can't do that with Chico because there's still people that actually like that in those shows.
Yes.
And you can't mark yourself out as alternative.
Especially because Wigfield was when like I was seven, so I was seven when I liked Wigfield, and that's acceptable.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But liking Chico when you're 21,
it's not okay.
No,
it's not. You haven't thought it through, I don't think.
Yeah,
you haven't really made a decision there.
Yeah.
You've just gone, if everyone's liking Chico, I just like Chico. And then at the end of this, I'll get my brain wired up for a thing with everyone and we all have the same thoughts. That's why I don't like Chico. I just realised it. I don't like that kind of stuff because everyone, it's just going to lead to us all having the same brain.
Yeah.
If we don't start thinking for ourselves like that. Think for yourself. That's what, if I was to make a documentary about us all having the same brain, I'd call it Think for Yourself. Like a really, really, really thought provoking.
I'd like to see you make a travelogue in Nam.
Yeah, me just going around Nam.
Yeah.
Quite good doing a historical thing about Nam. I think it's time for another song
that,
from yours
that
now.
That riff has run out of steam.
You'd be surprised how much we can get more out of that riff. I mean, never. I just have to play a song every now and
then. Here
we go. Oh.
Rolling Stones.
Oh, classic for you. Rolling Stones, Gotta Get Away. I think that's the first time we've had Rolling Stones on this show.
Oh, great.
Yours is the first one to throw them up.
And I hadn't heard that song before, despite having it.
No, you haven't?
No.
What album is it from?
I don't know. For all my talk of album tracks, that's just the one I've got on Spotify. It's just like the big compilation.
So, oh, the massive compilation, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not
that's,
sure.
You know,
I think with the Rolling Stones, it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where
do you start?
It's not. Also, it's not really my music.
Yeah.
Like the good stuff I really like.
Yes.
But I don't want to listen to. Yeah. I don't want to listen to all the stuff that doesn't make a compilation for that.
Can't just feel obliged to.
Because it's work, isn't it? It makes you feel like work. Yeah. It's sort of swimming through dross.
And it's not meant to be.
No, I know.
It's meant to be that you're just enjoying music.
No, but if you like the Rolling Stones and like, you know, 60s kind of blues rock more than I do, then you'd love that track.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're listening, you're welcome.
Yeah.
But
you should be making yourself listen to it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to listen to it.
That would be awesome.
That's when a compilation is good.
Yeah. I think there's some bands that I definitely would just get the compilation album. And I will never need anything else again. But sometimes I get into the compilation album so much, I think I would like an album actually. And then I get that and go, I was right for the first time.
Quit while you're ahead.
I can't believe I fell for it.
Yeah.
Something like Echo and the Bunnymen.
Don't.
I'm complete.
Whenever I listen to an XFM podcast, there's always. Oh, is that? No, that's Catfish and the Bottlemen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Echo and the Bunnymen are a band from the 80s.
Right.
From Liverpool. I think Liverpool. And. Their greatest hits is really all you need, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm saying that, but like, I'm pretty sure. It's got Bill Drummond did that. So the one I've got, the greatest hits I've got, Bill Drummond wrote the inlay for it about how much he loves Echo and the Bunnymen. Bill Drummond is one of the KLF who burnt all the money on the island. Do you remember that?
No.
It's like an art collective, and they burnt £1 million. They got £1 million and they burnt it.
Idiots.
Yeah, yeah. I knew you would hate this. This is why I told it to you.
Why? That's £1 million.
£1 million.
That's isn't that really bad for the economy if you just burn.
It's a bad message to put out in general. I mean, you know, there are
not
people.
Not just a message. Like, doesn't it affect the actual physics of the economics? If you just take that much money out of circulation,
yeah,
then it's really bad. That's why we're in this mess.
Yeah, because of the KLF.
Fucking dweeby artists burning money with no consequence. Pricks.
Could have donated it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big one, I think, that everyone thought straight away.
Right, yeah.
But then they always say, well, it's the thing with those kind of artists, isn't it? When they kind of go, well, you know, art is meant to provoke people and meant to make you think. And we did it.
You've done it.
And you're like, well, you didn't, you know, I could walk into a pub and smack someone's drink out their hand.
And make them think about alcohol abuse.
Think about how angry they are that I've been in Bellend. And, like, it's not art, is it? It's quite easy to provoke people.
But also, like, if you just give a charity £1 million, it makes you think, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to give stuff to charity, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you just burn money, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, it might make people think, oh, you should get, but I don't think that anyone necessarily saw that the KLF had burnt all the money on the island and then went, I'm going to start donating to a charity.
Yeah.
They probably thought, those guys are pricks. And
just KLF? Are they a terrorist?
Yeah, they sound like it, don't they? Yeah. Nowadays, you wouldn't really get away with killing. No, it's just a group of artists. Bill Drummond was one of them.
Right.
And I went to see him. He did a couple of kind of Dave Gorman-esque shows in early 2000s.
Oh, how much money can I burn?
Like, yeah,
how
yeah.
How funny is that?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of.
You've just paid £20 a ticket, I'll just burn it all.
Yeah.
Prick.
It's kind of similar things. What were they? They didn't really work. They weren't meant to be comedy shows, but it was like that kind of. You know how obviously Dave Gorman will do like a big challenge and then do a whole comedy show about how he's like met people with his name or, you know, done the Google whack thing? Like, Bill Drummond. So he found a painting. So it was a painting that he really he buried it. I can't remember what he did now. He buried this painting and then he cut it up into loads of little pieces. It's really, again, I think it's a really priceless painting.
Right.
And then auctions off each little, he's selling each little bit for £1 or something.
Oh, it's about how we're all just meaningless dots in space, is it? Great. It's
probably stuff like that.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Whatever,
then you all own a little
someone
piece.
Someone painted that.
Yeah, some painted it.
Someone painted that, and that was really great when it all together.
Yep. No, you've cut it up.
I hate artists.
Yeah.
I mean, visual artists.
Yeah.
I like musicians and comedians and actors. I hate visual art. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get museums.
Turner Prize.
What?
You'd probably go insane walking around there.
Yeah. No.
Tracy Emin and people
just
like that.
Just Google image it.
Yeah. The Turner Prize nominees this year, some of it makes you proper go bananas. Well, one of them is just, I think, five chairs with five, like, fur coats draped over them.
Oh, just write a sentence about what you're trying to say and just save me time.
Didn't make any of it. Just bought all those individually from places, put them in a room and went, there you go. What do you think about that? And got nominated for the biggest award.
And what was the message? Or was there not one? Are we past
I imagine there is one. I imagine there is a message. But
is the whole point you're supposed to do is it's all about what you think is your interpretation of it.
Yeah, look at it and make do the hard work yourself.
Yeah.
As the viewer. You're the one who's got to decide what it's about. Christ. They couldn't be bothered. No, I think most of the time they do know what it's about, but it's, I mean, you get told anyway, don't you?
Yeah.
You get told what it's about. You don't actually go in and make your own mind up. People just get told, and there's a plaque on the wall normally that they put up going, this is meant to make you think about this.
That's the only difference between just walking down like a street that has like where people have put like a fridge outside the house.
Yeah.
That's the only difference, that there's a plaque there telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that. This is what... At the Tate Modern...
If you just wrote a sign outside, if you threw a fridge out and just wrote a sign saying... You know, your name and the date.
Yeah, the date in brackets.
Oh, and you get an award.
Yep. Well, so someone, one of the pieces of art I saw at the Tate Modern was a mirror. But not even like a nice fancy mirror. It was just a rectangular bit of mirror without a frame or anything. And the plaque next to it was the most pretentious. It was like, when you put yourself in the, when you look in the mirror, you become the art, and you're making the art yourself, and that's the genius of this piece. The word genius is what they used for someone handing a mirror in.
Yeah, the genius of the fucking robbery, taking your money.
Yeah. Well, the genius of getting the Tate Modern to actually take it seriously.
Do you have to pay for it to get into Tate Modern? You don't, do you?
No.
Or certain things.
But, you know, the Tate Modern surely have... I mean, they're the ones who have been duped there.
Yeah.
There's a really good documentary about a guy who forged loads of like famous art pieces and donated them to galleries. Didn't sell them, so he didn't make any money, but he just donated them all, and they all couldn't tell, and they got really when they found out that he'd done it.
Great.
They got so angry.
Absolute ledge.
Yeah, I thought, what a legend. Absolute legend.
Last time I went to the Tate Modern, the only time I went to the Tate Modern, because I decided not to go after this, was you walk into the hall and there's just loads of bellends just running around like trying to like hug you and like doing like an immersive thing.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like pushing them away, and they're like, oh, don't touch the art. I was like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not art. It's assault.
Yeah. If you're running up to people,
it's entrapment to get me convicted of assault.
Yeah. It's the part of the thing was running up to you and trying to hug you.
It was going around people and like dancing, and like then they'd all stop.
Yeah.
Like looking at you.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you're supposed to suppress the instinct to tell them to fuck off. But right. I couldn't be arsed.
Surely you're not supposed to do that, though, because like, surely the only expectation should be on them if they're doing that. Like, you, if you do tell them to fuck off, that becomes part of the art.
Part of the art.
And they have to they have to deal with that and go see what
it's
that says about
art.
Us all.
It's not art. It's just people in a...
Yeah.
There's, like, you can just exist without having to be a point.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or if, but also, if you are going to make a point with art and stuff like that, I think it's quite good to not... I mean, to do it in a way that is properly, like... other people couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
It's part of the thing. I think Tracey Emin was being interviewed, as someone said. And I like Tracey Emin. I like her writing a lot more than her art. I like what she writes about and how frank she is with how she writes about stuff. But someone was criticising the unmade bed that she did.
Right.
The famous one.
Yeah.
And said, well, I could have done that. And she went, but you didn't. Yeah. And that was her answer, was like, well, you didn't. And I'm the one who thought of it and you didn't think of it. And... on the one hand, that is a sound point, because you're like, yeah, you did think of that, and you did. But also, on the other hand, you kind of go, well, I didn't think of it, but maybe because it would have seemed like, if that thought occurred to me, and no one had done that.
Yeah, there's
no one had done it, and I thought, I was going to hand in my unmade bed, and I'll do that. I would then think to myself, no, mate, you cannot rip people off like that. You've got a responsibility as someone who is... You've got to actually put the work in and be creative here. You can't just hand in your
bed.
The
reason no one's made that point is because there's not a point to be made. It's just an unmade bed.
Yeah.
And I know that if she's listening to this, she'd probably think, that's exactly what I want to think. Well, then you can't win. If you're just trying to get people... if you're just trying to annoy people, you've done it. Brilliant.
Yeah, well done.
What are you trying to do? Is that just... that's what I think that... I think artists, visual artists, are like... flies, and they're just there,
yeah,
bzz, just to piss you off.
buzzing
and
then, around.
And the best way to, what you're supposed to do, I feel like what you're supposed to do is rise above your frustrations and just go, oh. And then that annoys them. And if you actually go, well, fuck, what's the fucking point? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Then they're like, ha, got you. That's what the point is. That's what I'm trying to do.
I did it.
I'm trying to piss people off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or do you just mean the things like that?
I think part of it is that. Part of it is that they're trying to... Also, they've got nothing... I mean, I think as comics, we get frustrated more because they've got no real immediate response to answer to. So they're kind of... They can just hand it... Yeah. You know, that's my thing today.
Yeah.
So my thing that I've had in is an ashtray that I found. And that's what everyone's got to look at. And I'm going to say it's art. And then people can walk past and go, that's fucking shit. Or people can walk past and be really pretentious about it. And they're at home.
Yeah. Just they're at burning home, money like a prick.
Doing whatever they want. Whereas we've got to get in front of, of rooms full of people, do our stuff. And if we haven't put enough work and effort into it, we get our asses handed to us.
Yeah.
So, and, but there is the tipping point sometimes where, like, I guess if... No, do you know what? Even if comedians do stuff that is a bit pretentious, there still has to be some substance there. You still can't just do nothing.
Yeah.
The only person who has done that, but then it's good... is I won't say his name because it actually is supposed to be a secret who it is, but the person who does the gorilla in a rocking chair in a room.
Yeah.
But then that is great.
Yeah.
And normally he does that on the free, and it's a free entry gig.
And there's one, and there's, the point is that there's one of that, and the reason it's good is because it's to mark out the difference between the norm. Whereas if the norm was that, I'd kill myself.
Yeah. If everyone was doing that,
if that was the thing.
Yeah. But just go and see a show that is the person does nothing.
Yeah.
And it's on the audience to then misbehave and make an event out of it.
Yeah, that's great.
That's good fun.
It's a one-off thing.
Yeah. And don't charge people for it.
Yeah.
As well.
So I think we've dealt with art.
So there you go. Art can go fuck itself. And let's see what the next song on my iPod is. It's The Mountain Goats. The Mountain Goats. That's another day trotter session. So if you like that one and dinosaur feathers, and, you know, then you should just get yourself on day trotter. Although, you know, be careful because I accidentally signed up for... I paid double, basically, than I was meant to because I thought I hadn't signed up for it and I had. So, I wrote to them saying, excuse me, it's been a problem. Can you cancel this? And they never did. So it wasn't much money, but it was enough to annoy me.
Stingy old Acaster.
I'm quite a stinge. It's quite disgruntled by it. But I don't know where the mountain goats are from. I can never really... But they're very good.
The mountain goats.
The mountain goats. Their album Sunset Tree is really good. Very good album.
Sounds a bit twee.
Yeah, that song is.
Yeah.
That song, I would say that... I mean, I wouldn't really choose that song if I was trying to... I'd play the Sunset Tree to anyone. And what's good about that is that it... It threatens to be twee and doesn't fall into it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm like, so they really nail Fleet it. Foxes, I like because there's quite some of the melodies are quite sort of haunting.
Right. Yes.
And but it is quite kind of sort of whimsical and on a hillside.
Yeah.
Shaving the rats. I did not finish that metaphor in my head before I started speaking.
Fleet Foxes don't do any shaving, really, do they?
No, I guess not. No, I didn't mean of themselves. I meant just sort of shaving a rat and then letting it go about its day.
Yeah. Shaving a rat with, like, probably a razor that they sharpened on a belt.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back on track with the same image.
Yeah.
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 Sharpening a razor on a belt to shave a rat.
Shave a rat. And
to then...
free it.
I don't know, make rodent bunting and have a fate. I don't know.
A little raft down the river and the rat can go on a little quest. What was the... There was a series of books.
Redwall. About Ryan Jacks. Yeah.
Redwall?
Yeah.
What were they about?
Ryan Jacks. They were like... So fantasy, obviously.
Yeah.
with like... So basically... I haven't seen Game of Thrones, but I imagine Game of Thrones where everyone's an animal.
Okay.
So like the badgers were like the king.
Yes.
Because they were these sort of warrior badgers, and they had a thing called like Red Dawn or Red Mist that would descend.
Right.
And I know Red Mist is a saying, but they'd have a thing called Red Mist where like they would just go into sort of turbo mode and kill everyone.
Okay. Nice. Did you read these books?
Yeah, I've got all of them. I've got all of them at home.
You've got all the books?
Yeah.
And I happened to mention them.
I was a massive fan of Redwall as a kid. Yeah. And then they had like the princesses were all these kind of like squirrels and sort of graceful animals. Shrews. Yes. It was like shrew weddings and stuff.
Lovely.
It's weird me talking about it now. Yep. Making a living out of hating things that are twee. When I've got this lovely collection of childhood books that are the animals taking over the world.
What's the best Red Wall book?
I can't remember the individual titles. Brian Jakes, or Jax, I never knew how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
J-A-C-Q-U-E-S.
Yeah.
Jakes. Anyway, I don't know. The word Red Wall was in the title a lot, so it'd be like,
right,
Mountain of a Red Wall.
Yeah.
The Dawn of Red Wall.
Yeah.
Red Wall Squirrels. Yeah. Stuff like that. Like, that was the...
I got huge deja vu just then.
Really?
When you were saying all the Red Wall titles that you were making up. Yeah. It's a strange moment to get it, isn't it? I guess there's never a normal moment, but to go...
Yeah.
I think Finn's... So, I mean, I've never had a chat to you about Red Wall before, ever.
I've never talked about it openly with anyone, I think.
It's always been a secret.
Yeah.
Now I'm outing you as a Red Wall
You're
fan.
You're outing me as a Red Wall fan. Yeah.
I recently was quite drunk in Ireland, doing some gigs in Ireland, and Ashley and B's family were getting us drinks and got me... I asked for a whiskey and...
Ashley B is a character in Red Bull.
yeah.
One of the worker bees.
One of the worker bees. They got me a ginger ale and whiskey.
Nice.
And they are Irish, and her uncle told me that you're ruining that whiskey, that ginger ale.
Yeah.
And you need to... So, for the rest of the night, I had water and whiskey and got pretty drunk.
Yeah.
Went back to my hotel room and ordered a Terry Pratchett book.
From room service?
Yeah. Wait, I've got everything by Pratchett and some pretzels, please.
Yeah.
I did it on Amazon. And, I was just like... I just realised I don't have anything by him. I didn't realise he had died. I think what happened is someone followed me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Who I knew, I think, and I went on their profile, and they had and the last thing they had tweeted was ages ago, and they'd retweeted that Terry Pratchett had died.
Yeah, but that hadn't sunk in.
And I realised
I need to read more. I think I might have read one or two when I was a kid, but I don't know. I need to read more to understand why he's a legend, apparently.
Well, I literally googled best Discworld books.
Yeah,
and got a top 10 where Mort was number one. So I've bought that book.
Yeah.
I have Mort now.
Bought Mort.
I bought Mort.
Yeah.
And that's why I said that book.
Yeah,
I can't say I bought Mort. But so I've got that lined up. But I've got so many books now lined up that I haven't read. I'm so bad at getting around to it. Apart from, Dave Eggers' books, I'll read them within a week.
Right.
He's the only one. And everyone else, they seem to take me so long. I've got, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Haven't read that. That's lined up. Hemingway. My brother got me War and Peace once.
I read that, and it took so long.
I have to at some point read it because I own it. But
I actually gave up. You know what? I actually gave up on it. I got really far in, but and I was only 100 pages to go. But I just thought the type was really small, and I just thought I've said to people that I've read it.
Yeah,
I can't remember anything. Apart from it was a fucking slog getting through it.
That's what everyone I know says.
Yeah.
They gave up on it and it was a slog and they didn't like it. So I've got that on my shelf.
After a point, it can only be so good if people are really struggling to read it.
Yeah. Someone got me On Love by Alain de Botton or whatever. So I've got that.
Yeah.
I've got all these ones lined up. And now Mort. It's added to that.
I'm sure more will be on.
I will read that quite quickly when I start. If I start, we'll see. We haven't got long left, so I think we should get one of your songs on. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
What is next? Haven't been embarrassed yet.
Flowing Up the Rolling Stones.
Oh,
are you embarrassed now?
Not at all. This is a. I'll play it and then I'll tell you what it is.
Pretty happy. Okay, cool. Now that is the end of that song of Finn Taylor's.
I am about to sound. Literally, this is the coolest song that could have come on.
Is it?
Right. So it's Radiohead.
Right. Yeah.
It's from the Kid A Deluxe Edition.
Okay.
And it is called Untitled.
Oh, brilliant!
Coolest music song ever.
You literally can't.
I've literally
get
nailed it.
So many songs are called Untitled, but they're all cool.
But to be a bonus track.
Yeah.
On not just any album, on Kid A.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that is really cool.
I've nailed this.
You may be top of that. If we had a leaderboard like on Top Gear.
Yeah.
You'd have just
in how up
just
yourself you
it.
Can be.
Yeah.
Just only if it's 2 seconds it. Long. Just yeah. some wistful. I imagine that's some kind of keyboard.
Yeah, I think you've earned yourself another one.
I think, right.
So I think just play.
So we'll see what comes up. It could be a real, real stinker.
Okay, let's see.
Oh.
He's happy again.
Can.
Oh, yeah, nice. Can on FUBAR Radio from Finn Taylor's Spotify. What's that song
called? That song is called Spoon from the seminal Eggy Bamyasi.
Great,
which Ellis James got me into.
Great title.
I've come out of this so well.
You've come out of it better than most people.
I didn't realise that.
I think most people come out of it not looking bad, but you come out of it looking pretty cool.
I'm not expecting to. I've missed a lot of shit.
Yeah.
That is on there.
It's gone very
Spotify's
well.
Spotify's been kind.
Yeah, that's the second time we've had Can on the show as well. That's the second time we've been thrown up. So that's pretty cool for them. They're climbing up the leaderboard. I mean, I wish we could keep some sort of thing that says how many times people have been played. I know Scroobius Pip's been played the most.
Really?
Yeah, and he's coming on the show soon.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's exciting. Oh, I don't know if I can probably say that. I can say that.
My mate's band.
Can let people know who's coming up.
My mate's band.
Chico's too good for us, but Scroobius.
My mate's band has been playing on Scroobius Pip's like nights that he's organised.
Oh, really? Nice.
They're called Inca Maps. Give them a shout out. Very good.
Yeah.
Bit good. Like Wild Beasts, if you like them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Similar sort of thing.
Well, a lot of people like Wild Beasts. They're pretty
great.
Band,
yeah.
Cool bands to like these days.
Yeah, they are.
Show's coming to an end now. Is there anything you want to promote before we go? I mean, you're doing Edinburgh?
Doing Edinburgh. My show's on at 6 o'clock every day at the Pleasance Courtyard. It's called Stink.
Great. Any reason why it's called that?
Sort of, but not enough of a reason to say now. But yeah, that's on every day, and then you got to buy a ticket, obviously, so if you're unsure, then you can listen to the album on Bandcamp for free. Search my name.
So much good stuff on Bandcamp. Yeah. While you're on Bandcamp, get the Yoni Wolf album that I played a track from earlier. Also get his covers album. It's in a covers on there called Snow Jams.
That's a great name for an album.
Yeah, very good covers album.
What kind of covers?
So he covers Rolling Stones, Beast of Burden on there. He does The Cure, Close to Me.
Uh-huh.
He does Pavement, Shoot the Singer. Bob Dylan, As I Went Out One Morning, is on there. Runaway by The National.
Yeah.
He covers that.
I should mention this one. I hate Bob Dylan. I haven't had a chance to air that.
No, you haven't. Well, we've got like a bit of time now if you want to say how much you hate Bob Dylan.
I just want to say... Yeah. That he should be recategorised as a poet, and then I'd be fine.
Okay.
Because he just cannot. He's just not a good musician at all.
Sure.
And yeah, I just hate people. I have this argument with so many people.
Yeah.
I just want to say it on a music show.
Yeah.
That.
But it's still strictly. There's a lot of music going on there. I mean, there's a lot of.
Yeah, and it's really bad. I know that it is music.
Yeah.
But if people said, oh. He's an amazing lyricist,
yes.
Very elegant talker, activist, whatever.
Yeah.
Great, fine with that.
Yeah.
But don't say he's the best songwriter of all time. The melodies are rubbish.
I'm only just starting to listen to him.
Yeah.
And I have bought...
Save your time, mate. Save your time. Save the trouble.
Don't bother listening
Dodge that bullet.
To Bob Dylan. Well, I'm listening. So I've got Blonde on Blonde and Blood on the Tracks. Those are the two that I have bought. I think Matthew Crosby was on here and said the same thing as you. He just can't get on with it.
But it's, you know what? My anger is more that there are people who wear him on T-shirts and go about like he's their fucking god, and that's why I'm so angry about it.
Nish Kumar is what's really making me
Nish is...
I hate to bring up Nish again, but he really loves
I know he likes it.
Really loves him.
But it's like it's fine to like him for a certain thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you liked John Terry for his football, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you liked him for his politics and his actions,
right,
that's the wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Bob Dylan for the words.
Yeah.
Don't like him for the music because it's really bad.
I see what you mean. There's some of the stuff I like the music, you know.
Well.
But then the words are good. But I think maybe that's the main reason people do like Bob Dylan, is for the words.
Yeah, and that's fine.
And what's going on there.
And that's fine. But when I
say... But they shouldn't say music.
When they say, when they say what's your favourite Bob Dylan album? And I go, I don't like him. And they go, and I'm like, I don't think he's a good musician. And then that's the evening ruined for me and that person.
Yeah, people being flabbergasted shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
That is a... I think any time you might surprise someone doesn't like a band.
Yeah, just...
You've lost perspective.
I've got a different brain from you. We're not at that point where we've all got the same brain yet. Chill out.
But you can just say to them, look, I own Radiohead's Untitled track.
Yeah, from Kid A.
From Kid A. Bonus track.
And I played it on an internet station.
Yeah, so they can just completely get off your back and all that stuff. You've done it. Well, thank you very much, Finn, for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
You've put the world to rights.
Hope it hasn't been too dry.
It's been great, mate.
Cool, good.
It's been
enjoyed
great.
It.
I mean, I'm never dissatisfied. Well, I was in your company, so very happy. We're going to end on a Brian Wilson song from Lucky Old Son. And I'm going to play Going Home because it's the end of the show.
Nice. Okay.
So why not play that one? It's a nice song as well. Here we go. This is so normally we'd end on another Shuffle song, but we set this up earlier. So let's play. This is Going Home from the album Lucky Old Son by Brian Wilson.
I'm going home.